Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secret is Prayer podcast. And let's get started. Loren.
Jesus, thank you for letting us gather here today and guide our minds. Please guide our minds, our hearts, and our words so that we can, as we share your gospel, so that we can use it in our everyday life and that we learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Okay, so we're in chapter 10, and we left off with Noah cursing his son for not covering his nakedness. So I'm going to kind of just jump around because 10, 11, and 12 kind of mesh together, but there's a lot there. So the table of nations. So remember, God says, I'm not gonna do another flood where I just wipe everybody else, you know, everybody out and start over. So and then we see that in the last chapter, Noah curses his son. So again, they you know, fall back into sinning. And so in chapter 10, the Noah's sons, they start spreading out and they start, what's the word? They start
having kids
and populating. They start, you know, populating the earth. So so then 10 kicks off with the family records of Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we're going to first go, you know, talk about Ham's sons, which is Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. And then Cush's sons, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabteca, and Rama's sons, Sheba and Dedan. And then Cush fathers Nimrod. And Nimrod, who began to be powerful in the land, he was a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. And that is why it is said, like Nimrod, a powerful hunter in the sight of the Lord. So Nimrod is highlighted here in these paragraphs because Nimrod stands for, his name means let us rebel. So here we go down that bad path. And Nimrod is known as a powerful hunter, but not a good powerful hunter. He's a good hunter, but with that, you know, in a bad way. And then his kingdom started with, so Nimrod's kingdom starts with Babylon. And so this is the first time that Babylon is introduced in the Bible. And as we've talked about before, you know, Babylon ends up being the instrument in which God chooses to use against the his chosen people. So Nimrod's kingdom started with Babylon, Erech, Akkad, and I might be mispronouncing these, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh. And that's another one that we later on learn, you know, that's where the story of Jonah comes from, because the Nineveh were very, very bad people.
Right.
You know, which shows that things go back to the way they were before the flood, you know, when they were very wicked and bad. And there was a lot of, you know, murdering and all that stuff. Things were really, really bad. So, I mean, I can only imagine to where God had to come in and just wipe everybody out. So here we are again, in that same place, really, you know, with Ham's bloodline, right? So, and then, so we're going to jump down to where, so they start spreading out, right? They start spreading out, and then they're all speaking different languages, right? They start spreading out to, you know, each to their clan. And and their own languages in their own lands and their own nations. Then we jump to the Tower of Babylon. So the Tower of Babylon, so Nimrod's clan, they, you know, they start growing and they see themselves very powerful, and they all start speaking, they start grouping together, and they're all speaking their own language, and they're growing and they're seeing how, you know, powerful they are. So then they, Nimrod says, let's build our own tower. Let's build our own tower so that, you know, they don't need God anymore. So they're slowly straying away from God. Well, they've strayed already from God, and they're saying, well, so that we don't get another flood, let's build the tower all the way to the heavens. And that way they're saved from any, or safe from any flood that might come. So they think they're smart in doing this. Yeah. You know, and they're like, come, let us make oven-fired bricks, and come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. And so, you know, and it's just, it's sad because I'm like, man, even back then, you know, and here we are. And the Lord, you know, of course he sees that. And so he pumps the brakes and he's like, nope, we're not going there.
Yep.
You know, and because he had already made his promise, I'm not going to wipe everybody out again. But, you know, he goes, and it's very interesting because it also, I mean, this tells us so much about God, you know. So the Lord says, if they begin to do this as one people, all having the same language, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. And it's not that he felt threatened by them. It's just to slow it down, because again, you know, they have free will, and right. And here they are heading in this direction, and so the Lord says, come, let's go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So, and here it's interesting because where God says, come, let's go down there, and he's speaking in plural, you know, and so he's speaking of the Trinity. So yeah. It's God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And so, you mm-hmm. know, so early on, again, we're already seeing Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you know, together with God here. And so he says, let's go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So from there, the Lord scattered them throughout the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore, it is called Babylon. For there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them throughout the earth. So for those, you know, that think that God is not in control, yes, he is in control. He is in control of right. everything, and he knows all that is happening, you know.
Right.
So that's where Ham's bloodline goes. And then we're going to jump to...
And so we can kind of see where that curse is, right?
Because there it goes. They continued. And that goes to show how God saw that so early on, you know, and why it's pointed out where Ham, like you can see now where Ham's heart really is. You know, it wasn't that he accidentally left Noah's.
He intentionally,
that tells you already, you know. Where right. his heart was leading him already, you know, and that's one of the things that
that's so
that
scary.
I think was very important to learn is to always go back to God, because we don't really see where people's hearts are, right?
Their
intentions, and only God does, and why it's so important to always go back to him for the truth, you know, because only right. he sees all. So So there goes that. And then now we're going to jump to Shem, you know, so from Shem to Abram, because this is where Abram comes from Shem's bloodline. So these are the family records of Shem. Shem lived 100 years and fathered Arpachshad 2 years after the flood. After he fathered Arpachshad, Shem lived 500 years and fathered other sons and daughters. Arpachshad lived 35 years and fathered Shelah. And it's interesting to see because how how long people lived, because you're, you know, it's 500 years. Abraham lived like 900 and something years, but here you have Arpachshad, who only lived 35 years. So he was just a baby, you know, but there's 400 years, but then there's some that are only like 34 years, 30 years. So talk about waiting and being patient for things
I can't imagine living
to happen. You know, I mean, the world we live in now compared to having to wait, you know, that long. So it's crazy. It's mind blowing. So we're going to jump down to Tara. Tara lived 70 years and fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. These are the family records of Tara. Tara fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Haran died in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. During his father Haran's lifetime, Abraham and Nahor took wives. Abram's wife was named Sarai, and Nahor's wife was named Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran. The father of both Milcah and Iscah, Sarai, was unable to conceive. She did not have a child. So it's Abraham and Sarah, right? But here it's Abram and Sarai. And then I think it later changes to Abraham and Sarah, right?
Yeah.
So here, here we see where Abraham comes into the picture. Now, depending, because some of the commentaries, it shows that that the call of Abraham doesn't come until after. Until chapter 12, but then in some of the commentaries, they because of what's written in Acts 7, it's actually before the end of chapter 11. And I'll show you here where, let me keep reading.
Where is that? Okay.
Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, Haran's son, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they set out together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. So here Abraham, they're in Haran, and they settle there. And then the Lord calls out to Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we see again God doing the same thing that he did with Noah, right? Where he sees one where, hey, I can do something here he sees something in Abraham where he sees that he can, you know, fulfill his purpose in the same way that he did with Noah after Cain and Abel, and then after Eve and Adam. So here he calls Abraham,
right? You
know, and he makes him this this promise. But Abraham is only half obedient, because Abraham tells the Lord tells Abraham, go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. But he brings his father, and he also brings his nephew Lot, and then they settle in Haran.
He was supposed to take them too?
No, he tells them get out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house. So he wasn't supposed to bring any relatives, and it says get out of your father's house. So he was supposed to my understanding is he was supposed to leave just him and Sarah.
And because I'm reading
it. Because he says your relative, so maybe Abraham took it as, oh, my relatives too.
No, I think that's pretty clear. He said, get out.
We're not going there, Nana. We're not going there.
Yeah, we didn't take my sister.
We can't read the lines. We have to read right there, black and white. And he did, but he took his nephew, but I don't see where he took his dad. He did take his dad.
Yeah, well, he did take his dad because when in chapter 15, he tells them in Acts 7 and chapter 15, in chapter 15, verse 7, it shows where the Lord tells them, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans. So, and then in the paragraph that we read before chapter 12, it shows Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and set out together from Ur of the Chaldeans. So
he didn't really say not to, because I was rereading it, and he didn't say not to take them.
Yeah, he did. He told them, go out from your land, your relatives. So that's leave your relatives behind. Because, and think about it, it makes sense because he's wanting to start over because they were already idolizing, there was a lot of other gods and all that stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on already. And so God here, he's trying to isolate them and Abraham and Sarah to start fresh with them. And so he makes them these promises. And I think, and you're going to see here, we see that he didn't listen because he brings his father and he brings
his nephew.
And then they stop. They're heading out. He doesn't know where he doesn't tell them where yet. He says, the land I'm going to show you. But then they head out. But then they stop at Haran and they stay there a good while because at the top it said that that I think Terah was 70 after he fathered Terah. Terah lived 70 years and fathered Abram. And then Terah lived 205 years and died in Haran. So they stayed in Haran a while. So he didn't keep moving to see where, because that's not where God told him he was supposed to stay. So, and it shows that they settled there, and it could have been because he brought his father, and something happened there or something that kept them, that delayed them,
And that's so interesting because reading this, I would have never caught that for one. I just was reading it. Okay, he had to go here, he had to go there. But if you go to the book of Hebrews, he's one of the faithful people they talk about. I think it's chapter 11. They have, the faithful people.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I'm like, where does he become faithful now? Because he's not so faithful at first, not putting his full trust in God.
Right. And we're going to see more of that, but we're also going to see how God is very patient with him and how God is guiding him through each step. And we're going to see here that by not being obedient to God, how it can delay our purposes and God's promise to us because we're not obedient.
Right, right.
So Abraham went as the Lord had told him and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarah, his nephew, Lot, all the possessions that they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. So now he has even more people with him because he acquired people in Haran.
There you go.
He's like, come on.
Well, and mind you, these were on foot, so they were long journeys, and so there was days and years or whatever probably.
Right.
So he probably is like thinking, he doesn't know what to think because sometimes God can be a little vague.
Well, and then okay, so let's keep going. And they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the site of Shechem, at the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So now, you know, the Lord appears to him. They arrive to Canaan, and the Lord appears to him and tells him, to your offspring I will give this land. And so there, and so if we go back, we can see where they were headed out to Canaan, but they got delayed in Haran.
In Haran,
you know,
right.
So they could have been in the promised land sooner had they not been delayed in Haran. So to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent. With Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, he built an altar to the Lord there, and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram journeyed by stages to Negev. So we see here how he's moving like in stages.
Mm-hmm.
And if we see... several times as he moved to each location, he pitched the tent. So now he's no longer like settling there like he had did in Haran. So now he's pitching a tent, and he's like ready. Yes, ready to move, you know. And that, and I thought that was interesting, because where it says he pitched a tent, and not, because even with everything that he had, that he didn't stop and build something, you know. And
mm-hmm.
And that too shows us that we shouldn't hang on to material things and be ready to pick
That's
up and go,
point.
Right?
That is so good.
So then, and then here is where God promises, because Sarah was unable to conceive. And also here is where we see that God also now mentions Abraham's offspring, that he's going to give him an offspring. So, now the Lord promised all the above, but also that he was going to give him an offspring. So, and that's kind of come into play later,
right? And I wonder, because it doesn't say yet how he caught that, right? Because like in the very beginning, if we go back to the beginning of 12, where he says all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you, like that was already kind of a sign, right? Like
right,
you're gonna have people through you. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, I probably would have said, but I can't have kids. What are you talking about? You know, but he never did. He just went
well,
about
Well, and remember,
kids.
He brought all those people with him. So maybe he was thinking all those people.
Oh, instead of thinking like from him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So then, and then there's a famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine in the land was severe. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife, Sarah, look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. They will kill me, but let you live. Please say you're my sister, so it will go well for me because of you, and my life will be spared on your account. So, okay, right there already is like red flag.
Yeah.
Like, what? And
what
you
are
think
you
Sarah
thinking,
would be like,
Abram?
What do you mean? And it's just like, man, because if you go back and you read, you know, if you go over the promises, you would think that instead of, for one, the famine, right? There's a famine.
Right.
And instead of going to God and, you know, asking God about the famine, you know, because God made him these promises, and I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing, you know. What made him think that God wasn't going to protect him from the famine, you know? And so
right.
He doesn't take that to God. Instead, he runs and he flees to Egypt. Now he's in Egypt, and now he's afraid that they might kill him for his wife, because his wife is, you know, so beautiful. And now he's asking her to lie. And, you know, if you have to start lying, then right there, you're already, you know, strained. So,
right. Right.
And if you, you know, can't find a good reason to lie, that the devil is happy to suggest many. So
and
here we go.
And that's a perfect example how he took it upon himself to change the plans, and then his life just
yes.
starts. you know, from
exactly.
So it's like, and that's us too, right?
That's exactly us. Path,
not yours. And then it's like, we're going crash. Like, we don't learn from that mistake, you know?
No. And it goes to show, this tells us a lot about Abraham, right? Because if you go back and you look at Nimrod, you know, Nimrod, you know, how he went about things, where he felt very confident and this and that he didn't even need God. And then it's his confidence that makes him stray. And now you have Abraham, and Abraham is his fear that makes him stray. Because if you, you know, the Lord comes to him and tells them, go out of your land, your relatives and your father's house. I mean, that's a big, and I think that's what God does now in our families, you know, mm-hmm. because they're, God sees where their everything's are, you know, getting going from bad to worse. And so he sees something in Abraham and he tries to isolate him, you know, from all the idol worshiping and all of that. And he tells them, you're going to have to leave them behind. And I think out of fear, Abraham didn't want to leave his relatives behind. You know, he brings his father and then he brings his nephew. Then he probably was doubting, you know, so they hang out in, you know, Haran for a long time. And, but it's only delaying his purpose, you know, his purpose, the purpose that God has for him.
But I can, you know, kind of see where he would have that fear of leaving mm-hmm. the family. Because I don't know, what would I do, like, if I left my kids or my grandkids? You know, it's like, are you sure I can't take them? Like, I have to go alone? You know, I could see the fear. I can understand where he could impart from his dad. You know, maybe he could have left the nephew, but at least take your wife and your dad. But
well,
God said, no, only your wife.
And I think that's where that trust has to, you know, where it always goes back to trust, because who's to say that later God wouldn't have brought them,
right,
you know, back into Abram's life, you know?
Right.
And I, you know, God always has his reasons. He has his reasons for all of it, even that those that are really hard, because it only delayed his promise. And I thought that was huge, because we can, I'm sure we've delayed many promises lives now, you know, because of fear, because we don't fully understand what he's asking us to do.
Right. And it's a scary thing.
It's very scary, but that goes to show where you can't be one foot in and one foot out, you know, because, but then at the same time, it shows God's patience with Abraham. So they're in Egypt now, and he's asking his wife, you know, to lie and say he's his sister. And so when the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful, Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. So the woman was taken to Pharaoh's household. He treated Abram well because of her, and Abram acquired flock, herds, male and female donkeys, male and female slaves, and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his household with severe plagues because of Abram's wife Sarai. So, you know, and that's a big risk that Abram's taking there, because now Pharaoh's taken his wife, you know, and as we've seen that from the offspring of Abram and Sarah, Isaac, you mm-hmm. know, then that has to be preserved, because God has plans, you know, for Isaac. So, and Abraham is risking that here, you know, but, you know, God still protects him in this circumstance. So Pharaoh sent for Abraham and said, what have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister so that I took her as my wife? Now here is your wife, take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave his men orders about him, and they sent him away with his wife and all he had. So, you know, God protected him there, because Pharaoh could have easily killed him and kept Sarah, right? But that you can see where God's hand is at work at work there, and he just sends them away. Pharaoh just says sends them away.
So what a journey we're going to learn about Abraham, you know? His story is really good.
Yes, because I didn't know all of that about Abraham. And then when we, you know, and then if we look at how we can apply that today in our lives, that, you know, when we don't understand the call of God to go back to God, and ask the questions, you know, ask the questions and let them know the parts that we don't understand, because we don't want to get delayed, you know, delayed in anywhere. You know, if God's promise, he's, because I think this is a promise that he makes to all of us. You know, like, I think we all have an opportunity to receive all these things from God, you know, to receive all these blessings from God. And, but it's us that we don't, you know, we may doubt, or we might not believe, or we're afraid to do it his way, right? Because we might have to make some sacrifices and leave some things or people or relationships behind, you know, in order to fulfill God's will. And that's a decision that we have to make. And are we willing?
And I think this shows too, you know, maybe God could have said too, like, Abraham, follow, you know, come this way and leave everybody behind. But you see how he kept his wife with him?
Yes.
So again, it kind of tells you marriage is so important. Like, it ties in from the very beginning. Exactly. You know, Adam and Eve, Noah and his wife, you know, now we have Abraham and Sarah, you know. So people and might say, like, though, we can't relate to them, but I think we can. Like,
I think very much. I think we can. And I think here, even though they weren't obedient 100%, how God still protected them in the stops that Abram decided to make along the way, you know, all those divergences, that God still protected them through it.
Right. I mean, and we see that with David too.
Well, you know, and yes, exactly. And you know how different too that you see where David and Abram are too, where God calls David, and David, how confident he was, you know, in just a fight with Goliath, you know, that he's like, you know, I have God on my side, and he was willing to fight Goliath, to where Abram here is like, well, come on, Dad, you come with me, and hey, Lot, let's go, you know, like, sure, come on.
That is so true, because David was alone at that time, you know, he was by himself and he's going. So and then you have Abram. Well, he wanted everybody, he needed his whole crew with him, you know.
But remember, David had the scriptures, right? Because David came later. David had the scriptures of Abraham,
he did
so that kind of helped him a little bit.
That's right.
Yep. So,
well, and I guess think that's saying,
what we should
look. What we have, we have a full Bible. We still go astray.
Yeah. So we.
Well, that's assuming we read it, right? We read that's it and true. We study it, because there's a lot of people that don't. That even with all this knowledge, they don't. You know, they don't use it. So.
But, and everyone says, you know, you hear people saying, like, this isn't just, you know, the life from the past of people who walk with God, but these are literally his words. Like, when we read it, we're reading God's words.
Right.
So it's like he's here talking to us too. So yeah, it's pretty special.
Well, and too, where Abraham didn't, you know, he didn't, even after the Lord made those promises to him, where he didn't trust him to get him through the journey, because it's one thing to, okay, I'm going to go on this journey, but, and maybe Abraham wasn't expecting all those, you know, the famine and the having to face the Egyptians and all that stuff, to where he, instead of going to the Lord, he thought he was dealing with that on his own, you know? Right. And I think that's very important to remember too, that you know, that journey that the Lord calls you out on, it might not, it's not going to be an easy journey, but to know right. that God is with you and he is protecting you through it. He's not going to, you know, it's like the storm on the boat. He sent them across the, to the other side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there was still the storm, but you know, Jesus protected them through it. So.
And it doesn't say, but I wonder if maybe, you know, Abraham talked to his dad or, you know, or his nephew, like, hey, we're going here. What should I do? You know, I mean, because we see
that. That's what Abraham I was wondering. Said, because it says,
but I wonder, God ain't said, that what we do sometimes? We go to, like, you know, a family member or a friend before we go to God, and that's where we need to learn to
learn to first. Yeah, go to God just first go. Because yeah,
right, just go,
yeah,
what well, to stay with God, right?
This is the Lord said to Abraham, so he was like with the voice, I'm guessing, right? Just like Moses with the voice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. From like out of nowhere said, you know, get it, get your stuff and go.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, and it's one, you know, that's just one step, right? Because it's not one step is, okay, I heard this voice. I heard this calling, you know, right. And then fall, you know, being obedient to that and then staying in it, you know, staying on that journey because we don't. Right. It's easy. I could see where they're seeing that how bad things are that you're like, you know, doubting along the way because you're, you know, right. That they're not asking where is God in all of this because you see all this wickedness going on over here. Well, where is God in all of this? So
exactly. And, you know, we learn in scripture how patient God is, but Abraham wasn't being patient here. You know, that's like us. I just got to do this my way because, you know, you're taking forever, but
yeah, yeah.
So that's why, you know, a lot you hear scripture, be still is another word of saying, be patient.
Mm-hmm. Don't and keep nowhere. Moving, you know, keep trusting God. Like you might, and it might right. be, you know, you might have to stop it and ask God, hey, are you still there? Are you still with me? And then, you know, staying right. obedient to what you know, right? Because you're, go with what you know at the what you think is right at the time, but right. stay in prayer so that you are on the right path. And that's hard to do.
You know, I still ask sometimes, am I on the right path? Are you sure this is, mm-hmm. you know, this is where I need to be? And he will mm-hmm. give you the confirmation you yes. need to make sure that we have not wavered left or right, like we're still on his path. So he right. is faithful.
Because even when he got to that promised land, you know, the it wasn't, the land wasn't empty. The Canaanites were in the land. So he's like, he got there. There's people there. He, you know, God's telling them, hey, this, all this land is yours, but there's people there occupying it.
Right.
You know? And then the famine hits, but, and he flees to Egypt out of fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and he might have thought when he got there and sees the famine, it's like, oh, shoot, I made a mistake. This is not where God wants
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Start questioning. Yeah. Start questioning.
Somewhere, you know, right. Okay, let's go, you know, let's do this.
Well, not just that, but again, no? yeah. Do we know, like, was his wife saying something? Was yeah. his dad saying something? You know, maybe that's like, why.
Look where you got us. Yeah.
God isolates us. On him. But we don't have, yeah, all them voices, and it's just his voice. You know, because I'm sure like the nephew, what are we going to do now? You brought us here. Now what? You know, there's no food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But it doesn't, you know, it he built an altar, but it doesn't show. Well, it shows he built an altar to the Lord there and he called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham journeyed by stages to Negev. So he called on the name of the Lord. So I don't know what. God might have been silent at that time, you know, to see what
what move he makes.
Yeah, what he does.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. And so that's the hard part when he's silent.
Yes.
And that's
well, yeah, because then we want to run because and then you're, you know, you're being attacked. God is silent and you're being attacked and you don't know where to, you know, and our reaction is to run.
Right. No standardized test when they say, okay, here's your test. You can't talk. You can't know asking questions.
Nothing.
You know?
Yep.
That's it. You know, just figure it out.
Yeah.
Circle in the bubble.
It's like, what do you do? What are you supposed to do? You're not answering me. And I could see where some Christians, you know, because I'm a little over a year in my journey. So, I mean, he's been quiet a lot of times. And that's when I have to reach out to y'all. Like, I don't know what to do. You know, be still. Go to scripture.
Yeah.
Go to scripture.
Or you keep moving. Yeah.
And yeah, keep moving because, you know.
Right, because you go with what you know. What you know is right at the time. So if
right.
God told him to go here, then you go there, and then you wait, you know. And it's not. And sometimes God answers right away, and sometimes He doesn't.
Sometimes
you know. And sometimes
don't.
There's other pieces moving that we have to wait, you know, before God
right.
answers us, because we don't see the whole picture. We only see, you know, what involves us. But sometimes it's God moving other pieces.
Right.
So
right.
Yep, so that was but we're gonna see where some big changes still to come in the next few chapters.
Yes, his story is it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to stop here or do we go to the next one?
We can stop here.
I have the scripture ready if you wanna.
Yeah, let's stop here because then the next one, there's a lot in the next one.
There's a lot. Yeah,
I don't know that we'll have.
Yeah, because if you start, it might be. Okay, I'll be reading.
You might not
from
be able to stop her.
Fiascos.
Yeah. I'll be waiting. Go ahead.
So the closing scripture is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. I know that everything God does will last forever. There is no adding to it or taking from it. God works so that people will be in awe of him. Whatever is, has already been, and whatever will be, already is. However, God seeks justice for the persecuted. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's been the word, lady, awestruck, like in awe. I heard
and
it
I am
music, you know?
Yeah. And I am in awe every day of him. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I was telling my husband today, you know, like yesterday was just a crazy day. And then today was a calm, better day. You know, we had my grandbaby came over and hung out with me for the day. And my husband's like, you see how God works? Like, it's like, here you go. I know what will make you happy. You had a bad day here.
Yep.
Here's
yep.
your day here. I'm yes. like, Matt, he yep. probably has to use gloves when he handles me. But he's so great. And I'm always just in awe of the little things that he does unexpectedly, you know?
Yep.
So very.
And he knows what tugs at our hearts.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. You know, you hear in scripture where we capture his heart, but I'm like, I think you captured mine, mm-hmm. you know?
So mm-hmm. true. So true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for joining us, and we'll see you next week.